Several components of the Homeland Security Department are searching for new ways to fund big data projects. Budget pressures are forcing them to get creative, so they're relying on unique IT initiatives to meet their missions. Tom O'Keefe is Market Intelligence Senior Analyst at the Immix Group and looking at ways that they are meeting these initiative challenges scattered throughout DHS. Tom, thanks for coming on the program today. I appreciate your time. What are some of the challenges overall, more broadly, facing the Homeland Security Department as a whole as they move toward more effective use of big data? Thanks for coming on today.
Well, thank you, Francis. I think there's a couple of things that are really challenging DHS, probably the biggest of which is no surprise to any of us, is the budget. Obviously, with all of the political wrangling that's been going on, it's been challenging, I think, for DHS program officials to really know what the concrete vision is going forward. So they've been, only able to plan certain portions of initiatives or have sort of a framework in place, but haven't had the budget authority to actually execute some of the actions that they've needed to get the tools and technologies they need in order to make use of the massive amounts of data that the department generates.
So I guess the good news is, at least until September 30th, that's not a problem anymore. They know where they're headed, and it's an appropriated bill and not a continuing resolution. So that's a plus, and now I guess they find themselves where every other agency is, in that nobody really knows what happens October 1st. But that's, at this point in time, that's standard operating procedure.
Correct. And I think, the good thing is that the department has been laying groundwork for several years now. They've been really working a lot on the back-end systems, because obviously DHS was an agency that was brought together of, 22 smaller components after 9/11. And they had a lot of different systems and a lot of different back-end systems that couldn't talk to each other. So there have been a couple initiatives that have really been sort of led by the headquarters folks who have been trying to get the data behind the scenes and get these siloed systems to be able to talk to each other so that they can get a better picture across the enterprise. And the good news is they've been working on that for the past couple of years, so now I think they're really ready to move from that planning stage into an actual implementation.
And you point out some of the implementations that are coming down the line are already in progress in your piece in Washington Technology, and we put a link to that later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You write that we can expect to see further adoption of development methodologies like Agile and increased use of groups like 18F in the U.S. Digital Service at DHS as well. Is it possible at some point that they'll stand up their own service like that? OMB's given agencies the suggestion, I guess it is at this point, to do something like that.
Right. So what we're actually seeing in the FY16 budget requests is all of the cabinet-level agencies, I believe the one exception to that right now is DOD, they are actually standing up their own digital services groups within the agency. So they'll likely work very closely with the U.S. Digital Services team, as well as GSA's 18F, to really bring, I think, new development methodologies and to be an advocate for new and innovative ways of delivering better services. And really, the digital service teams are not just focused on internal customers. They're also very much about external facing. So working with the broader civilian population of the United States to improve citizens' access to government services.
All right. Let's look at some of the individual components that you write about. The first one is the Coast Guard, and they are developing a C4ISR program. Tell me what we know about that at this point.
Sure. So it's been in the works for a couple of years, and really the big thing that the Coast Guard is going to end up doing is trying to aggregate all of the search and rescue information with changing weather patterns, with GIS information, particularly because they have such a massive area with which to cover when it comes to search and rescue operations, that any way that technology can help them be more efficient, more effective, and respond quicker has got to be a key part of their mission.
Is this a case where data used will be used primarily for predictive analytics, for trying to figure out if weather conditions are like this in this particular area, it's more likely that we should have presence there or less likely that we need presence there, things like that?
I think you could certainly see them starting to get smarter about where they position units based on something like that, or knowing when they may need to step up response based on how conditions are changing.
You write, the Coast Guard has needs here for application development, information management, and mobility solutions. COTS vendors still have a chance to shape the requirements for the C4ISR system. It sounds to me like that's still there's still plenty of room for that whole initiative to be shaped, not just by vendors, but by the Coast Guard as well, as they figure out what their needs are.
I think that's exactly right. I think there's still opportunity, and there's a lot of we're actually seeing a rise in Coast Guard's FY16 IT budget, so they've got a little bit more to play around with to help them bring some of these C4ISR systems into reality.
We hear a lot now, because of the political controversy around immigration, about that subject, and you write about some things that are going on at Citizenship and Immigration Services. This is striking, but I guess not surprising, given what we know about some legacy systems inside federal agencies. Some USCIS systems comprise 30 commercial software components. They're so unwieldy, offices are going back to adjudicating applications and immigration benefits on paper to save time. That sounds like a tremendous opportunity for somebody that knows what they're doing on modernization.
Right, and especially on the back end systems, and really looking at the business intelligence aspect of this, looking at how USCIS employees are actually interacting with the system, figuring out where the hangups are and where improvements and efficiencies can be introduced into that system, so that they don't have to go back to paper, and that they can use electronic systems that are supposed to help them be much more adaptive and deliver much more quickly.
Given that they're transitioning in some cases from a paper to something, is this a build it from the ground up, or is there anything in the legacy systems that's left that you know of that's worth dealing with?
Well, USCIS has been a huge proponent of agile development over the past couple of years, and that's really taking and introducing incremental improvements into systems over time. So I imagine there's certain components of that legacy system or the current solution that's in place that you can look at doing short and small improvements on to enhance functionality, and that's going to be really something that's going to catch the eye and the ear of folks at USCIS.
So they've got building blocks in place, they just don't necessarily have enough to build a whole house yet.
Correct. Or it's going to take them a while to put it all together, because they've got to redo some of the foundations that are in there.
Thomas O'Keefe of the Immix Group is my guest, writing in Washington Technology. And one more I want to ask you about. You write about the National Protection and Programs Directorate, and you write they continue to have trouble coordinating between the five federal cyber operations centers under its purview and collaborating with them to respond to cybersecurity incidents. What's the collaboration problem that they have, and what's the opportunity for somebody to help them?
Well, with those centers, I think it's the enormity of the task that's in front of them. I mean, I imagine there are multiple statistics and figures on the number of intrusions that are attempted against federal networks every single day. I'm sure it's somewhere on the order of the millions. There's a lot that that those groups have to handle, and try and improving communication amongst themselves. And they have a mandate of not only communicating with the government community, but also with the broader private sector throughout the U.S. as well. So they have a huge, huge mission that they have to deliver on. And I think folks that can help and bring in communications tools, collaboration tools, they can have a huge opportunity within NPPD.